third chapter of Book of Revelation. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's Word. We're going to read but two verses, verse number 1 and verse number 2. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, again we want to thank you for your goodness and your kindness, and thank you for the wonderful Bible, the Word of God. And Lord, help us tonight. Help this preacher as he preaches. Lord, I certainly need your power and I need your wisdom. And Lord, help me to be a blessing to these people. And Father, the only way I know how to do that is through the Bible, through the Word of God and its preaching. So you help me, Lord, to do what you want done. And then, Lord, you accomplish what you want done in each one of our lives. And we'll thank you for it and praise you for it in the lovely, wonderful, most precious name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to go at this time over to the book of Philippians, the second chapter of the book of Philippians. Philippians, the second chapter. I want to start reading at verse number 5, and we'll read down through verse number 8. He says, Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. In this portion of Scripture, we learn a very, very important thing about the mind of Christ. He said we should have the mind of Christ. Let that mind be in you, which is also in Christ. And he tells us something very important in those just few verses of Scripture, what the main thing that Jesus Christ came to this earth for. What was he thinking about? What was the purpose of it? We find, according to them verses of Scripture, that first of all, he said he was made of no reputation. So he did not come to this earth just to exalt himself. He came for another purpose. Now, exalted he will be and should be and will be for through all eternity. But when he came to die on the cross, it was not for just the exalting of himself. The Bible says he came to be a servant. He came to serve, not to be served. We find also in that the Bible says in that portion of Scripture that he humbled himself. Humble him. Here is God, the Son, and yet he humbled himself, took upon himself a body likened unto sinful man and yet without sin. And he came and he humbled himself. What for? What's the reason? The whole purpose was, as you find in verse number 8, and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came to reach the souls of men and women and boys and girls. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's what was on his mind. That's why he came. That was his purpose. And in that, he had a plan for reaching the world to himself. And of course, if you know anything about the Great Commission, you'll know that that Great Commission is presented in every gospel. And also in the book of Acts, he tells us that we are to be witnesses for him. We are to preach the gospel to every creature. That's God's plan, is to get the word of God out. In other words, he is sending us even as his Father sent him, even so send he us. The whole purpose for him coming, dying on the cross, was to save the soul of man. And then he says, I'm going to use you to bring people unto me. Now we know the Holy Spirit of God does the work, But we also know that he's chosen. God Almighty has chosen to use men. And what he does is he looks for saved people. That seems kind of elementary, but who he's looking for to work for him is saved folk, people who's come to Christ. He also is looking for separated people, people who have separated themselves unto him, turned away from the world unto God. And then thirdly, he's also looking for surrendered people, people who are willing to surrender their lives for his work. We had two couples up here tonight and their families, and they were saying, I'm surrendering my life to this work here. I'm going to be willing to use my life to the work in the ministry here that I've been willing to do. Many of you have done the very same thing. God is looking for people who are saved. He's looking for people who are separated, and he's looking for people who are surrendered. Now, the very purpose that God has, and of course he uses the church, never forget that. It's through the church that God has chosen to use to get people saved, brought unto himself. And the thing that he wants done is to get the gospel out. Now, when that purpose is not being fulfilled, God moves. You've got to understand something. This is the whole heart of God, to get people saved. He sent his Son to this earth to die, be buried, and risen again for the purpose that people will be saved. Now, when that is not being accomplished, God is going to do something. I want to show you over in the book of Matthew concerning Israel. Just turn over to Matthew, the 21st chapter. And we'll just read one verse. This is dealing with Israel, as you will find out in verse number 43. He says, 21st chapter of Matthew, verse 43, he says, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. He told Israel, and he had chosen Israel out as a nation. You're all familiar with that. Chose them out to be a nation that would bring people to God, bring a world to God. We find out they've done just the opposite. Instead of bringing a world to God, they become like the world. That's what Israel did. They turned their back on the work of God. They turned their back on the Messiah that God sent, the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's saying to them that I'm going to give that work to another nation. And of course, the church was founded. God founded the church. Jesus Christ built his church upon that rock, which was himself. And he founded the church. And what was the purpose for the founding of the church? To bring people to Jesus Christ. To get the message of the gospel out to a lost world. Now, there's been many nations, I shouldn't use the word many, but there's been some nations that has been blessed. Israel certainly was blessed. But there's been some nations that has been blessed because of their response to the gospel. Now, you and I live in one of those nations. If you go back in time, there was a time when England certainly was a great place where God used for getting the gospel out. Many multitudes of years, God used England. Now, you will recognize, I'm sure, today, the situation that's going on in England, and I'm talking about spiritually. In England, her kingdom is almost gone. The British Empire is almost gone. England remains free, but let me say to you, she's not spiritual. Very, very few people in England, in comparison to the amount of people that is in England, even attend church. And when they do, it's usually the formalism kind of church that they attend. So I'm saying to you, God saw that. He sent some people over to found a nation which we call America. And the purpose for the founding of America was to get the gospel out. That was the purpose. It wasn't just so we could have freedom. Certainly we have that, thank God for it. But it was freedom to get the gospel out. That's what the whole purpose for it was. And God has used the United States of America down through these years to see multitudes saved. Not only in America, but all over this world. God has used this great land of ours to send tracts and missionaries, people as witnesses all across this world to get the gospel out. Now, what I'm trying to get you to understand is, though, that that is the purpose. It's not a great nation so that we can have a great lifestyle. That's not what God's plan was. We might have multitudes of things, and thank God for that which God does for us, but that wasn't the purpose of God. The purpose of God was to bless America so she would get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out so people could be saved. Now, whether you understand it or not, America is dying spiritually. She is dying spiritually. We are on the same path that England took. Now, you may not maybe understand that. I don't know whether you do or not. You may be looking around your own little neighborhood. You may be looking at things that you see around. But if you'll take a good look at it, you'll understand America is spiritually dying. Now, it's just kind of like it was back here in Sardis. Here's what he said. He says, "Unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God." See, what happens is when God sees things that are not going according to his plan, the whole plan is to get the gospel out, God begins to move. He even formed a new nation, America, for that purpose. Let me say to you that God raises up churches and allows other ones to die for that same purpose. He raises up churches that'll get the gospel out. There's dead churches all over this great land of ours. And God, I've seen him do it time and time again, raises up new churches that has a heart for soul winning. And that's the whole purpose for the church, is to get people saved. And so we find here, he said they was... here in Sardis, they had a name that thou livest, but he said they were dead. And he said also then, but strengthen, be watchful and strengthen those things that remain, those things that are ready to die. I say this to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I think we've got a good church. I don't want to say I think we've got a great church, but I think we've got a good church. I think we're doing things for God. We want to continue to do things for God. But folks, we got to be very careful and watch out for those things that's about ready to die. We cannot look the other way and look at other people and look down the road or across the nation and say this church is doing this or that. We better get our eyes on this church and make sure it's doing right. You see, these churches that he's talking about here, he said they have a name that liveth, but are dead. Oh, do these churches across the land today, do they have a name? Oh, sure. They've got a name. If you drive by church after church after church, you'll see a name upon their building or upon their sign outside. Do they conduct services? Oh, sure. They conduct services maybe at least one time a week, but they conduct services. But God says they're dead, and I'll show you why they're dead in just a moment. What I'm saying to you is I am concerned about them, but I want to make sure this church don't die. I want to make sure that the things that are strong here remain strong. We need to strengthen constantly those things that are weak. We need to build them up for the glory of God. We got to make sure we're being used by God to get the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ out. So, do they conduct services? Sure. Is their name in the phone book? Sure. Did you ever go into a city and open up a phone book and look at the names of all the churches? It's amazing. You know, in America, it is amazing the amount of churches that's in America. That is an amazing thing. We drive down the highway, and of course we have a habit of doing that, Donna and I, as we drive. We'll say, oh, look at there, there's a church. I don't know whether you folk do that or not, but we do that. We'll say, look at there, there's a church. Look at that church up there on that hill, you know. But we have not the slightest idea what's going on in that church. We see the signs, and maybe there's good things. I mean, maybe it's good what's going on there, but you don't know from the outside. You could put church all over Blessed Hope Baptist Church out there. You could put the name every 2 foot around the side of this building and call it Blessed Hope Baptist Church, but only when you come inside do you really know if it's a church. Place where God is honored. And that's true of every church in this land. So I'm simply saying, yes, their names are in the phone book, but many times churches across America are but a skeleton of what they used to be. I don't know whether you in your mind right now can think back, but I can, of some churches that used to be. Oh, I don't mean they don't exist now, but I'm talking about churches that used to be, that used to preach the gospel. Amen. When we was over at Wilford, a little church down the way there was turned over to the Masonic Lodge, I believe, and the lady that had lived across there, she didn't live there then, but she'd gotten saved, and when she seen that they backed a beer truck up to that church, it made her weep. Can you imagine a church being turned into a Masonic Lodge? Place where the gospel was preached and people got saved. Do you hear what I'm saying? You see, folks, it's not just what the name is, but there's churches that are dying. Oh, they used to be something. They used to preach the gospel, but no longer are they doing it. They're dead spiritually. Oh yes, their classrooms that used to be bustling with boys and girls are empty. Their altars are never stained with tears. They're cleaned with furniture polish, but not with tears. A box of Kleenex would sit there for years without being used up. Altars are a place for repentance. That's what it's all about. Altars are a place to come and get alone with God and repent and get right with God. And too much we don't see that enough in America today, in our churches in America today. Baptistries are filled with flowers instead of water. Have you ever went in and seen a baptistry where they was filled with flowers? I have. Flowers lined the baptistry instead of water being filled with water to be used to baptize. What I'm simply saying, you look around and sometimes you'll see property run down in disrepair. Churches that used to be on fire, doing something for God, getting the gospel out, and no longer doing it. Sometimes you'll see, though, the opposite. You'll see churches in good repair, looking pretty on the outside, but not alive on the inside. And what I'm saying is, God says in the book of Revelation here, God says that Sardis, that's what they were. They had a name that they was alive, but they was dead. And so he said to them, and evidently there were some things good in that church, because he said, some things are about ready to die. Strengthen those things that are about ready to die. And so I say to you and I, it's time that we make sure that we keep our church strong. Say, Brother Ross, do you think we got a good church? Yes, I do. But I don't think we ever ought to let up. I don't think we ever ought to take things for granted. I don't think we ever ought to quit, because I believe with all of my heart that we're old human beings, and it's real easy for us to get real lax. And we can't afford to do that. You see, what God uses is living churches. That's alive. There was a man came this week into my study. He knocked on the door, and I went to the door, and he said, I'm an insurance salesman. He said, do you want me to leave? I said, no, you came the right day. This is the day that I'm always gracious to insurance salesmen. And so we laughed together, and he come in and sat down. And so we talked about some business and some things like that, and then he began to ask me about our church. And began to discuss it. He asked me some questions, and so I told him. I told him about our church. I told him about that the Lord was regularly seeing people saved here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that on a regular basis we're seeing people baptized. I was telling him about the servants of God that has went out from Blessed Hope Baptist Church that are now out serving the Lord, and others that are preparing to go out and serve the Lord. And I was telling them about the blessings that God had given this church. And then I made a statement. I said, life produces life. Where there is no souls being saved, the church is dead. Life produces life. Now, I didn't say they had to have someone saved every week. I didn't say they had to have someone saved every month. But let me just say to you, where a church is alive, there'll be people saved. Life produces life. He sat there, and he looked at me when I made that statement, and he says, you know, you're right. I did not ask him where he went to church, but I said, sir, I don't even know where you go to church. How long has it been since you've seen someone saved in your church? I'm just asking you that because I don't know where you go to church, and I don't even want you to tell me. How long? He sat there and he said, I can't remember. Now, what I'm saying to you is, God won't use that kind of church. Now, let me say also to you, God can use that kind of church if they repent. Our God's great. He's always looking for people to turn unto Him and to repent. That's why I'm saying to you, we need to be sure we remain the kind of church that God can use. And the only way we can do that is from the pastor and everybody else keep their lives right before the Lord. And keep our spiritual lives ready to be used so that God can use it for His glory. That's not just up to the pastor, that's up to every individual in this room. And that's the kind of churches that God uses. I'm going to just give you four things. Will not take very long, but I'm going to give you four things that makes up a living church. First of all, something living must be able to breathe. Let me say to you, the church must have the breath of the Holy Spirit of God upon it, or it can't function. I want you to go with me to the book of Ezekiel, 37th chapter of Ezekiel. Verse number 7. Ezekiel 37, verse 7. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. Listen, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto them, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came unto them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Now, I realize, if you read on down, that God is talking about Israel there. Talking about the valley of dead bones. But he said the way that they will live is if the Spirit of God breathes upon them. And he said the way that they will live is if you prophesy unto them. I believe with all of my heart that the secret to getting churches revived is preaching. Amen. I believe that's how God intended for it to be. That's the way He stirs the heart of His people, and He intends for us to preach to you and to myself the wonderful Word of God. It's the only way that the Holy Spirit of God uses to stir hearts. And we need to get down and hear good old-fashioned preaching. And we need to be willing to accept old-fashioned preaching. Just the Bible preaching. We need to be able to do that and willing to do that so the breath of God will be upon our services. If the breath of God is not upon our services, we're dead. Let me tell you what I believe. I believe every service ought to be Spirit-filled with Spirit-filled preaching. But I believe it also ought to be filled with Spirit-filled listening. People who are willing by the Spirit of God to listen to the preaching of the Word of God and let God do something for them. I believe also that the teaching in the Sunday schools ought to be Spirit-filled teaching. Every Sunday school class, every teacher ought to be a Spirit-filled teacher that teaches the Bible, the Word of God, in their Sunday school class. I believe when people get up to sing, it ought to be Spirit-filled singing. It's not to put on a show. It's not to do to show your great talent. It's to be filled with the Spirit of God so that you might be used in the services to honor God Almighty. I believe that the testimonies that come forth from God's people ought to be testimonies that are Spirit-filled testimonies, that give honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe with all of my heart that the living we do when we leave these walls ought to be Spirit-filled living. And I believe when we find that, we'll find that God can use a church like that and a people like that. I believe that prayer needs to come from the heart and not from the mouth. I believe that service ought to be out of the love for the Savior above all. Why do we serve? Why do we need to try to talk people into serving? You ought to just love Jesus enough to serve. Just love Him enough to serve. Amen. And if you love Him, you will serve. Oh yes, yes you will. Amen. And not only that, we need to see people who are humbled, who's willing to humble themselves before God Almighty, not having to be first or recognized first or honored, but willing no matter what happens or who gets the credit, as long as God is honored, that's all that matters. We're living in a time, and I've told you before, we're living in this time of self-generation. Everybody is concerned about self. I told you here a while back, we're living in a no-fault society. It's nobody's fault. It's always somebody else's. Always. But let me say to you folks, God's looking for a people that will just humble themselves before the Lord and serve Him no matter who gets the credit for it. Because listen to me, when you get to heaven, you won't have to worry about getting the credit for it. God makes no mistakes. You'll get the credit. God will take care of all those things. But now we're living in this generation that has to be honored and recognized or they're not happy. Living churches must have the breath of God upon them. Something living also must be fed. The Bible says in Hebrews, the second chapter, the second verse, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. He talks about that every single newborn babe needs to be fed just like those sweet twins and this sweet son of the Kleins back there had to be fed. I see them, you know, have to feed them regularly. I don't know why that is. They just get hungry, don't they? Sure, we know why that is. And newborn babes in Christ must be fed. You take a church, and listen to this statement, you take a church that is alive is a church that's being fed, not just from the pulpit, but in their homes. I hope I feed you. I want to feed you. But folks, it's more than just hearing a sermon 3 times a week or 4 times a week counting the Sunday school. It's more than that. It's what we learn at home and feed ourselves and our children and our families on the Bible, the Word of God. So I'm saying to you again, a church, something alive must be fed. Churches that are dead are filled with dead Sunday school teachers. Who never study the Bible, the Word of God. They go before their classes unprepared. Maybe last moment preparation. That'll kill a church real quick. I don't know about you, but I've been in churches. I've been there and heard in Sunday school classes that I wanted to get up and leave. Well, what do you think, Joe? What do you think this says, Joe? Huh? Well, I think this. Goodness gracious, thus saith the Lord. And you need teaching from the Word of God. And Sunday school teachers need to be teachers. Spirit-filled teachers. Preachers need to get in their studies and to get something from God before they ever step in a pulpit. We have no right to step in a pulpit without having been first with God and got something from Him. Congregations. You say, what causes dead churches? Congregations that have Bibles that are dust covered. They don't ever read them. They don't know what it says. They only come once in a while and hear a preacher preach and take for granted he knows what he's talking about. I'm saying to you and I, my dear friends, we need to be readers and studiers of the Bible, the Word of God. That's how churches die. So this church needs to be alive. Living churches ought to preach against sin. It ought to proclaim to the people and lift up our voices to the people and show the people their sin and their transgressions. That's the purpose of a preacher, whether you understand it or not. That's one of his purposes, is to show the sin and proclaim the sin. Altars need to be filled with repentant sinners. You know, it's a strange thing. I happen to believe that everybody sins. And it's strange to me when everybody don't at some time come to an altar. It's very strange to me. Very odd to me. So I'll take care of it back here. Well, why don't you show somebody else the way and get right up here to an altar and just tell God about your sin, tell God what it is you need, and just get down on your knees and just pray. You know, you're in a good group because you know the rest of us are in that same situation. Amen? You see, we need to realize there's some excess baggage that's being carried around that needs to be gotten rid of. And it's called sin in Christians' lives. Say, Brother Ross, you mean Christian? Yes, I mean Christians. And it needs to be gotten rid of. You remember when Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem to build the wall? Do you remember that night he took a survey of that wall, if you're familiar with the book of Nehemiah, and he went out that night of a night and took a survey of it? Did you remember what he found on the foundation that God had sent him back to build the wall on? Do you remember what he found on it? Somebody help me. Rubbish. And do you know before Nehemiah could begin the work of building that wall, the first thing he had to do is remove the rubbish? Do you know a church whose foundation is filled with rubbish, you have to remove the rubbish before the wall can be built? Did you know an individual whose foundation is got rubbish all over the top of it must remove that rubbish before they could build that wall? Told you the other day there's a group in this area that's calling for all the walls to be torn down. It's funny, Nehemiah says build them. And we better build some walls. But it won't do you much good to build walls over rubbish. The rubbish has to be removed. Carnality has to go down the road. Amen? So again, I'm simply saying to you folks, there's certain things that just have to go if we're going to remain a living church. And them things are called sin out of our lives. Not only that, the last thing, there's anything that's living must reproduce. If anything is alive and it doesn't reproduce, it'll die. And that's true for the church. Whether you understand it or not, but you come around here on Sunday morning and you see all those blessed bus kids and all those wonderful children and you see all these children sitting here. You don't understand it, but that's life. That's life. That's a result of life. Well, you want to get into some of the churches and you want to see mainly old people? Nothing wrong with old people. Love old people. In fact, I'm loving them more than I ever did before. I don't want to do away with them. I love them. But if you don't see young people, you're dying. You're dying. You understand that? You see, you must reproduce. The Bible tells us that the Lord added unto the church daily as such as should be saved. We have to reproduce. We have to see souls saved. We have to see that. Church stops soul winning, it dies. It's dead. It's got to reproduce. Folks, you and I have got to see to it that this church remains alive. Right. Yes, you can win souls. Amen. Yes, you can. Right. You can do it. You can be a witness for Christ. Just determine it in your heart. You can do it. Yes, you can. Right. God wouldn't ask you to do it if you couldn't. Amen. And so a church must continue soul winning. Or it dies. Living churches care about the lost and are never satisfied unless people are coming to Christ. Would you be satisfied sitting in this church for 6 months without seeing somebody saved? Would you be satisfied with that? I mean, could you just be satisfied with that? I couldn't. I don't think you can either. You see, living churches can't be satisfied with that. Living churches know that they had to reproduce or they die. That's why he said over in the book of Revelation, he said that they had a name, that they live, but they was dead. Multitudes of churches are dead today. No life in them whatsoever. Let Blessed Hope Baptist Church always remain alive. Amen. Yes, if you're going to be a living church, you've got to have the breath of the Holy Spirit of God upon this church. Yes, if we're going to be a living church, this church must be fed. If we're going to be a living church, waste has to be gotten rid of. If we're going to be a living church, we must continue to reproduce. That's what Christ had on his mind when he came. Get people saved through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, again thanking you today for your wonderful goodness and your kindness. And once again, Lord, we certainly need your help here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I sure am grateful for, Lord, the folk you've sent here and all that you do here. But Lord, help us never to be satisfied. Father, there's things that need to be strengthened. And we ask you, God, to help us to do that we might bring honor and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen.